God, you are worthy. God, right now we just come before you, Father, and we just pray that you would just speak to our hearts. Father, speak to our minds. Speak to our spirit, Father. God, I pray that you would just breathe peace and rest and joy on each one of us right now, Father. God, right now, as we spoke about during our announcement time, God, we just lift up our students, Father. God, we pray for our students at our university, God, that you would just speak to them, Father, and encourage them as they go to school, Father, as they walk through the campus, God, at U of S, Father, that you would just lead them and guide them and direct them, Father. Give them meaningful relationships and friendships, God, with people that are like-minded, Father, that want to seek after you and your face. God, that you would encourage them to be bold in their classrooms, Father, that they would have success at everything they put their hand to. God, we thank you in Jesus' name for the success that they're already going to have and that they're having and that they're going to have for their future and the rest of their lives, God. Father, for our students that are in high school, junior high, and elementary, God, Father, I pray for their teachers, God, that they would be cognizant and conscious of your goodness and who you are, Father. I pray that any of that garbage curriculum that might be out there that doesn't align to your goodness, Father, I pray that it would be silenced and stifled. And Father, that your word would ring true in the hallways of our schools in this area. Father, that our children would be bold beyond their years, Father. That they would be more bold, far more bold than any of us, God. And they would speak your words with authority and boldness, Father, that you have given them. Father, we thank you for this. We thank you for the wisdom. We thank you for the positions you're putting them in already in schools, God. Father, we pray that they would live wholesome lives, Father. That they would seek after you, that they would run to you in all situations, Jesus. God, bless them. Touch them. And Father, for Nathan and Mary in the farm, God, we pray blessings over them. God, give them energy and strength as they go through this harvest season, Father. God, we thank you for the bountiful harvest that is coming in. It will continue to come in. God, we pray for blessings and abundance there, God. And Father, for the rest of our farmers, Father, in the community, God, we pray that you would just allow them safety, Father, and God, that your hand would be upon them. Father, we thank you for all of our businesses that are represented here, God. We stand with each business, and we thank you for the blessings that are coming in there. And God, we thank you that there's even more blessings coming. Father, we stand on that. God, we love you. Be with our service this morning, Father. Allow us to stay focused fully on you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can have a seat. Thank you, music team. I think I got used to wearing short sleeve shirts, and now I got to get used to wearing long sleeve shirts because it's the season. So we're in this short series called Made Well. So to give you a real high level, this series overview, this is a series on healing. And we'll be talking about the healing of our bodies, our minds, and supernatural healing. And last week, we talked about the fact that we all believe in healing. We did a survey here amongst everybody, and I wrote down it was 100% that we believe in healing as a church. Now, I also talk about how it's my desire that for us as a church to go from the perspective of he is able to heal me or is he willing to heal me, because that's a perspective a lot of people have, to this perspective of he did heal me, or the perspective of he will heal me, he is healing me, and shifting our perspective of shedding that unbelief that some of us have in our life. And as we talked about last week, we spoke the words, by his stripes I was healed, and by his stripes I am healed. I'm going to continue to walk in his healing. And that's the approach I want us to take on healing, is that we are healed. And the problem with everything is that I think far too many people doubt the power of God. They have unbelief in their life. They may have faith in who God is. They may have faith that God can heal them, but they walk around with this doubt and this unbelief. And I think it a lot like the man from the Bible that asked Jesus to come and heal his child. And Jesus said, have faith and your child will be healed. And he said, I do believe, but help me in my unbelief. See, I think as that unbelief grows and creeps in our lives, it kind of swelters some of that faith that we should be having and should be building up and growing in our lives. That unbelief kind of works like that cloud of doom, that cloud of darkness over us. And we need to push that down, and we need to rise up with the belief in our life that Jesus wants to make us whole. Jesus came to make us whole, because by his stripes we are healed. See, I think the other side of it is too many people run with this mindset in their life that, well, Jesus must have me going through this for a purpose. Or Jesus made me to suffer, or wants me to suffer for whatever reason. And I talked about this a few months ago, and I just want to touch on this again. Jesus did not make us to suffer. Jesus does not want you to suffer. Jesus wants to make you whole. Too many people think that their sickness is for the greater good or whatever. But Jesus doesn't want us to be sick. He wants us to be whole in him. Scripture tells us by his stripes we are healed. So if his scripture tells us that by his stripes we're healed, then shouldn't it be that by his stripes we're healed? Because we want to, like I said last week, we want to believe that we can ask Jesus into our heart and he can heal, he can forgive our sins, right? But part of that scripture talks about healing right after that. So it's not I did that last week too. It's not one or the other. It's both. He wants to forgive our sins and he wants to heal us and make us whole. Doesn't he? Is this just me? Maybe it's just me that thinks this. See, I want you guys to shed your doubt. Because I don't want you to doubt God's desire to heal you. See, this design he gave us, this design for us to be in relationship with him, this design that he gave us as people, as we talked about when we were talking about the Holy Spirit, how we were designed to be in right relationship with him. And then sin came and kind of mucked that up. But when we asked Jesus into our lives, when we asked to become Christians, that corrects that relationship. And as part of that correction is wholeness in our lives. We should be whole, and we should be desiring to be whole, and we should have faith that we're going to be whole. See, God designed us for that relationship, so that means that God loves you. And God loves you so much that he designed you this way to be whole, not to be suffering. I don't know what the right word is. Let's just say a suffering lump. He didn't design us to be a suffering sack. We're not a sack of cells. We were designed to be whole. And I'm saying this designed to be whole because I think we need to wrap our minds around the idea of wholeness. We need to shed this idea of suffering. We need to shed this idea of struggles, and we need to start grabbing onto this mindset and this thought process of wholeness, of faithfulness, of blessing in our life. We're designed for relationship with him, and if we're in relationship with him, things are good. Everything in our lives should point to God and everything that he does because he loves us. And when we understand this, and when we start living like this, it better positions us to be in a place to receive miracles. So I've got a bunch of scriptures we're going to go through. I don't plan on keeping you too long, hour and a half, maybe two. Get comfortable. No, I just got some scriptures, and then I just got a few takeaways from the scriptures. So it's a little different. It's kind of like I did last week where I hammered through a big bunch of scriptures. I got a lot, so bear with me. They should all be up on the screen, and hopefully I didn't transpose them incorrectly. So Mark 16:14-20. tells us. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. See, I'll stop there for a second. So Jesus rebuked them for their lack of faith. But it doesn't say that they had no faith. It says they had little faith, right? They were lacking in faith because the unbelief was creeping into their life. See, that's what I was talking about earlier. We need to shed the unbelief because when we have the unbelief, it blocks our faith. But when we can shed that and just say, forget it, I'm going to just believe, and then your faith will build up. You can't cling to your unbelief. The unbelief stops all the growth. And then we'll continue on. He said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes, not unbelieves, but believes and is baptized will be saved, right? But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands and they will drink deadly poison. It will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the, what are they doing? What are they doing there? They're placing their hands on who? On who? Okay, so they're supposed to place their hands on the sick. And what's going to happen to these sick people? They're going to just stay sick, aren't they? Is that what it says? No, it doesn't. Man, I better get a different Bible if that's what it's telling me. But they're going to place their hands on the sick and they're going to get well. Wow, that's exciting. And I just beat that. But you guys got to understand that should be exciting for us. That when we can pray for anyone and come in agreement with anyone, we can place our hands on them. My voice is changing. That's how excited I am. We can put our hands on them and pray, and they can be healed in Jesus' name. That the unbelief can leave. That we need to shed that unbelief. See, when I'm praying for someone and they're not healed, it's not necessarily the prayer or the prayer. They have unbelief in their life. They could have other issues, or the healing started and they just haven't seen the physical manifestation yet. There's all sorts of things. But we believe in Jesus' name that the healed has begun when there's faith and the unbelief is not there. Now I got totally sidetracked and not even on my notes. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven. So this is the last thing Jesus said. The last thing he said before he went up to heaven. What was the last thing Jesus said? Pray for people that they'll be healed and they'll be healed. It's kind of an important thing, right? I even threw a pencil in that. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm not understanding how this isn't as important as maybe it is important. But the fact is this, the last thing he said, jump back. The last thing he said to us before he went up to heaven was, pray for the sick that they'll be healed and they'll maybe be made well. Like, we watched a show the other day and they talked about, now obviously Jesus didn't die, so don't hear with me when I say this, but so many people hold on to the last word somebody says to them before they die. You know what I mean? It's important. Like, I love you. You did this well. I'm proud of you. What were Jesus' last words to us? Pray for the sick and they'll be healed. That should ring true to our spirit. That should make us jump inside as believers to know that we have been given that authority to go and pray for the sick and they'll be healed. So then we can jump to Luke 17:11-19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee, and he was going into a village. 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, we're not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said, rise from your faith has made you well. There's a couple things there. First, it's the healing power of Jesus, right? It's one of the most important things. This is what Jesus did when he made us, when he made people whole, when he made them well, it was by their faith in him, right? The fact that they would reach out and touch his cloak, or they would come and seek him. They didn't just go seek anybody. They sought Jesus to make them well. And then, the other side of it, and we're going to talk about this more in a moment, but the fact is that he came back to give a report to Jesus and praise God. See, last week, while we were praying and we were making declarations over our family and over our health and over the people we come in contact with and proclamation of health and wholeness over our families and over each other, we had people coming and saying, you know, this happened. I was healed of this. I couldn't feel my hands. They were freezing. And now I feel warmth. I couldn't sit. My legs are going crazy, bouncing and jittery. I could sit for hours and then go to a funeral. Praise God for healing. Sorry. Praise God for healing. We should get excited about healing. And that's what he's doing there. He's testifying to the healing power of Jesus. We should get excited for that. And that's why we should share with others. When God is at work, when things are happening in our life, when we're being healed, we need to share that with everybody. God healed me. I shared with you about my crooked finger, which I don't remember which one it was. That's crazy that it was all it was like a hook. Not quite a hook, but it was a hook. And you know what? If you got like, I don't have like, who knows a dog? What dog? You all know what dogs are. Dogs have what they call a dew claw, right, on their leg somewhere. Do you all know that? A dew claw. And what happens with that dew claw? It catches and can rip and can have other problems. And that's kind of like my finger when it was a hook. It was like a dew claw. It'd catch on everything and, it hurt and I'd have to run it under hot water. It was so painful. And then when God healed me, I didn't have this dew claw anymore. It was dew claw removed, except I didn't have to have the surgery. It was great. That's a good thing. See, guys, when the other thing is, as I talked about a few minutes ago, though, when we pray for healing and we haven't seen the miraculous happen just like that, and we have to believe by faith that Jesus is at work in our life and he is healing us already as we speak. As we go through life, we need to have faith that he's healing us and he's at work in our life. That's not called lying. That's called living a life of faith. That's not called faking it till I make it, not faking it till I'm better, but believing by faith that Jesus is healing me. That's what we need to do. Now, I'm not saying he's not going to miraculously heal people. I'm saying there's a couple different ways that your healing is going to happen, but we need to have faith that he's healing us. Because why? By his stripes I was and I am healed in Jesus' name. But we need, when we see this at work in our lives, or when we've prayed for it, we can't say, well, we prayed today that I was going to be healed. It hasn't happened. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't, I guess. We'll see. That's not what it's called. It's called, I prayed for healing, and Jesus is healing me right now as I speak, as I stand, as I walk, as I go to work. Jesus is at work in my life, healing me. He is making me whole and living a life by faith. Some people may say that's something else, but that is living a life of faith. Believing that he is already healing you as you walk away from that prayer and not having disbelief and lacking faith, but believing in Jesus' name that he is healing you. So we're going to jump to Mark 2:18 or 8-12. I hope this is the right scripture. Yes. Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to you? To say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk. But I want you to know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home. And he got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them. And this amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this before. Now see, I say this scripture because it is an instantaneous miracle. I was going to say miracle, but it's an instantaneous miracle. And it's something that should be celebrated when we have an instantaneous miracle or when we have any type of healing. That's a miracle. It's just maybe not an instantaneous one. But whatever we have, we need to share so that people can get excited. Shouldn't we? Shouldn't we share that God miraculously healed me? The other side of that is, it's showing at me the scripture here, how when he was talking to the people, shows me how much he wants me to be whole. Not just physically, but spiritually. Your sins are forgiven. That's talking about a spiritual healing, isn't it? Your sins are forgiven. That's pretty amazing. Then we're going to jump to John 6. I've only got another 600 scriptures, so you're good. John 6, 30 to 35. So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, 'Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is the Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down to heaven and gives life to the world.' 'Sir,' they said, 'always give us this bread.' And then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.'" See, this is talking about the belief in Jesus and living a life that is fully, abundantly blessed because of him, because of what he does for us, because the Father sent bread to the Israelites to feed them, to give them nourishment, and it was all for their physical. But Jesus is the bread of life that gives us spiritual life, not just bread and water, but abundance through his blood and his body that was shed on the cross. Why do we talk about that again? Because it says when his blood was shed, when his body was torn, that by his stripes we are healed. Guys, I'm coming at this about 100 ways because I want us to fully understand and fully grasp and fully believe and fully live that by his stripes we were healed, we are healed, and we're going to be healed forever through eternity with him when we walk with him. Now, Hebrews 11, I've got a lot, there's a lot of scripture here. And it's basically 1 to 31. So I'm going to just, I've been trying to race through the scriptures, I'm sorry. But we're going to try to read this at a reasonable pace. Because there's something we need to maybe get through here. So now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance what we do not see. See, part of that is what I talked about when you don't see the instantaneous miraculous healing, is believing by faith that you're being healed still. That's what some of this is talking about. Now, as we keep reading, we're going to read about faith. So this is what the ancients were commanded for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commanded as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. And then we're going to jump down a little bit further and talk about Noah now, if you can find that. I'm trying not to. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. Guys, seriously, they live in the desert, and he built an ark. It's kind of a faithful thing. That would be like me taking my pontoon boat, maybe a little bigger, but taking my pontoon boat, loading her up with food, and say, "Okay, come on, guys. Storm's coming. Rain's coming. We're not going to need that much rain in Rosetown." He did that. He got his family. He got the animals. He built this huge ark by hand, by faith. Guys, that's something we need to really grasp onto, is the faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to the place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Like, there's a lot of stuff here happening, guys. And I'm going to stop reading this here in a second, but I just need you to understand. These guys, and you can read this all on your own later, but these guys, they did stuff by faith. So when are we going to start living our life by faith and just taking steps by faith, believing that Jesus is at work when he tells us to do something and it doesn't make sense, to take the step by faith? To take what is rightfully ours by faith, to take our healing by faith and believe and declare it over our life, because Scripture already tells us it's ours. Because Scripture tells us by his stripes we are healed. Right? So, I'm not going to read that whole, I encourage you to take time. And I just hit a couple of the highlights of the guys. But these guys are guys that we need to really kind of base our life around and live a life of faith. Because by faith, we're made well. By faith, we are healed. By faith, we are blessed with abundance. So there's a couple of things, a couple of points at the end. You might have to scroll down, Nora, a little bit. Because the first thing I have is unreported. The first comment I have is unreported. Can you find that one? Unreported. It's not important. You can get it when I'm talking. So here's what happens. And I was very glad we had some reports last week. But a lot of things that happen in our life, a lot of when we take steps of faith, when we do something, a lot of people keep it to themselves. I'm just going to hide it here. This is for me. No! When something miraculous happens, when something happens, we need to report it. We need to tell each other. We need to help each other build each other's faith. How many times have we been healed and we don't talk about it? And you know what? The enemy wants to steal every single one of these things that are manifested in our life. He doesn't want you to tell them. Because if I tell you how I broke my leg and miraculously it was healed, like I was sitting there and I physically watched the bones go back together, which I've seen. How many, has anybody ever got to experience this? Or watching joints go back in place? If I were to tell you that I just watched this happen, what would you think? Jesus is alive? He's still doing miracles? Maybe stuff like that, but instead, we are like, well, maybe they'll think I'm crazy. Was it really broken? Get rid of your doubt and believe by faith that he is at work. And don't let Satan steal those manifestations from us. When we see something supernaturally healed or when we're being healed, we speak it to others so we can build each other's faith and encourage each other. So it can even build our faith even greater. The second thing is expect more. Expect more. See, all these scriptures we read by faith, all these things that these guys did, man, they were living a life of expectancy. Now, nobody really was excited about rain. I'm sure Noah wasn't looking forward to building this boat and living in an ark with his family. Heck, I can barely handle going to the car to Saskatoon sometimes with my family. And he knew he was going to be stuck with them and all these crazy animals. I love my family, Nora. Stacy. But you know what I mean? He believed God that what God said was true, is basically what I'm saying. He believed that God said, I'm going to send a flood. You need to build this ark. He didn't say, are you sure you're going to send a flood, God? Are you really going to send it? And please, listen to me. I'm not saying God's sending a flood to you. But what I'm saying is it's living a life of faith that what God says is true. Okay? What God says is true for you. When God told Noah he was going to build an ark, or he needed to build an ark because there's a flood coming, Noah needed to build an ark because he knew God was true. When God told Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations, he believed that it was true, didn't he? So when God tells us, actually, first, we'll even jump back one more. When the angel told Mary, you're going to have a son, even though you're still a virgin, she believed it to be true. Everything in Scripture is true. And all these promises for Scripture for the Israelites are true for us. So the thing is where Scripture tells us by His stripes we are healed, shouldn't we take that as true? I'm trying to come at this 150 different ways because I want you guys to understand and grasp on that by His stripes we are healed. And we need to hold on to that promise. We need to hold on to that fact that we are healed. We are made well. We are made whole. And the other thing is expecting more. We need to expect it. We need to pray for it. How many times do we actually pray for healing and believe with our whole heart? Or how many times do we have just unbelief? Well, God, if you feel like healing me, maybe you'll heal me. But if this is my cross to bear, I guess let me bear it. No! By His stripes we are healed. So that means we're healed. So let's ask for it. Let's believe. By His stripes, I was and I am healed. And I think it's an amazing thing. And I think it's something we forget far too often and we don't ask. We need to ask. God, pour your blessings out on me and believe by faith that He will. Live like He will. Don't live like, oh, please, if it's your will, God, please let me have some blessings. It's like going to your parents and asking for allowance. Mom, do you think I could have $5 so I can get a Slurpee today? How many of you parents have had that? See, we don't have to go to God and say, God, can I have $5? I really want a Slurpee. God, give me your blessings. Let your abundance flow through my life. That's what we should be asking for. And the third thing is about healing. And healing is just a taste of what we're going to experience in eternity. See, when we become a believer and we start living this faith-filled life and this life of expectancy and abundance, my shoe's even untied, that's how excited I am. We can start living in wholeness. Because when we're saved, we need to expect and live that expectancy of wholeness, of blessing, of abundance. Don't we? Healing is just a taste of eternity. Oh, you finally got there. And number four is this. Everything points to God. Everything points to God. We don't rally around somebody and pray for them and say, well, Gary's praying for Ryan, so we know this time he's going to be healed. No! We're praying to God. We're asking Jesus. What affects that is our faith, our belief, our relationship with Him when we're connected to the Father. That's what affects our prayer. Not who's praying for them. If Gary's praying for Ryan, it's because he's coming, what? In agreement with Ryan. So, as I spoke last week even about when Nathan comes and prays for people up when we do open the altars. It's not Nathan's power and authority he's praying under. Are you praying under? In the name of Nathan. No, right? That's not how it works. We're praying in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're praying in Jesus' name. Now, here's the fact. Do you believe? Do you have faith? What is blocking your unbelief? Or are you in the process of being healed? Or are you seeing an instantaneous healing? Those are some of the options. Right? If you have unbelief in your life and you're not going to believe you're going to be healed, guess what? You're not going to be healed. It's like me thinking, that's actually not like me thinking that, but I had a bad example. I was going to talk about work, but that's not a good example. It's like me thinking that I'm going to have kids without being married. I can't have kids without being married. I can't. Or a girlfriend, or a wife, or whatever. I can't have, as a man, I can't have a child, is what I'm saying. Right? I need something else. Oh boy, I should have just stopped and said, no, I know it's a bad example. I went off the rails. Let's just rewind. Well, forget I just said that, because I'm really just confused myself on this one. Bad example. That's why I write down examples. But we need faith. We need some core key ingredients in that equation. First off, we need Jesus. We need God. Everything points to God, as I said. We need to believe, we need to shed that unbelief, and we need to have faith and let it build up and rise up in us. And we need to just take that on. We need to deal with our past sins. We need to deal with any unforgiveness. We need to deal with ourselves and just start living a holy life and believe by faith that He wants to heal us. And He is healing us. Because as I said, and as I've said a couple, I might have said it once or twice today, by His stripes, we were healed, we are healed. So when we stand on those things, by faith, we're healed. Isn't it? By faith, we're healed and we can walk in wholeness. Everything points to God. Healing, miracles, salvations. When we became Christians, before you're a believer, becoming saved, becoming a Christian, saved from what, you say? When you're restored back from what you were living to the life that Christ created us for, this full, wholesome life, that's a miracle. When there's a heart change, a life change in your life, that's a miracle. And that points back to God and His goodness. And that also points back to, by His stripes I am healed, because He made me whole through that one act on the cross. And also, eternity points back to God. Those are kind of those four points that were in those scriptures. And they all kind of wrapped around healing, miracles, salvation, and eternity. Because it all goes back to God. And healing and the blessings that we can live with on this earth when we live by faith give us a small, taste of eternity and His goodness. We can live a life full of blessings that's an amazing life for earth, and it still doesn't fully add up to the blessings of eternity. See, we can experience heaven on earth because that's what my kingdom come on heaven and is it on earth. But we need to fully experience His goodness and His healing in order to start experience that. And like I say, we might not experience the whole, but we're going to experience some of it. And let me tell you, the sum of it we get to experience is pretty darn good. Right? It's better than winning the Grey Cup or the Stanley Cup or the tennis cup. I don't remember what that girl just won last week, but the World Open, U.S. Open, something like the tennis title. It's better than winning that. It's better than winning any championship. It's eternity with Jesus. And not eternity of torture and burning in hell. And I'm not here telling you hellfire and brimstone. I'm telling you, it's a pretty good, awesome eternity. So I encourage you to live in that fullness. To walk in that fullness. I'm going to invite the music team up. Guys, we're called for so much. And when we live our life pointed to God, and when we live our life focused on Him, and when we live that faith-based, full life, man, life is good. Because we're not stuck under the rules and the laws of humanity anymore. Do you know what I mean? Pain, disease, doesn't hold us back because we have Jesus. And His healing restoration, it doesn't have to hold us back because we can move forward in that restoration and that healing when we live by faith. When He's walking with us, when He's leading us, when He's guiding us, He's a good God. And He has good blessings for us. So I'm going to invite you guys to stand. And we're going to pray. Guys, before we pray, I just want you to know, and I want you guys to know how passionate I am about this whole idea. By His stripes, I was healed. I was healed the day He died on that cross for me. And I lived that out when I became a believer. And now His blessings that are there for me are there for me. And they just pour out of Him because He loves me. He loves us so much. Each and every one of us, whether you're a believer or not, He loves you, but He wants you to be in right relationship with Him. He wants you to be connected to Him. He wants you to walk with Him. He wants to pour out all the blessings He has for you, all the health that He has for you, all everything He has for you, every promise of Scripture. He wants to pour it out in you. So let's pray. Father, we love You and we thank You. Jesus, thank you that by your stripes I was healed and I am healed and I'm going to be healed forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, for making me whole. And Father, I pray right now that your word, your scriptures that we read today, Father, will just pierce in our heart, will touch us in a new way. God, I pray that we would be encouraged and built up. And Father, I pray that if we have unbelief, if we have lack of faith, Father, I pray that you would help us in our unbelief. Father, help us build our faith. God, allow us to be an example to others. God, allow us to be an encouragement to others to share of your love and your faithfulness and your goodness. Because Father, you are faithful. God, we thank you. We thank you. I'm going to give you guys an opportunity. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you do. And maybe if you want to just rededicate your life to him and become a believer, take a step and take a fresh start. I'm going to invite you just to take a moment and just slip your hand up, slip it down. Nobody needs to be watching. But it's just you making a declaration to Jesus to say, I want this. I want this new life because by your stripes, Jesus, I am healed. You make me whole in spirit and mind and body. Jesus, I thank you. So I'm going to give you an opportunity. Just throw your hand up to say, yes, Jesus, make me whole. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Guys, I'm gonna ask those of you that didn't put your hand up, and I'm just gonna ask you to join us. We're all gonna pray this together. I'm just gonna ask you to repeat after me, and I'll try to keep my line short. Dear Jesus, I thank you for the wholeness that you can bring. Jesus, I pray that you would just come into my life and just completely wash it over. Jesus, I pray that you would just touch me. Touch my life. Touch my body. Touch my mind. Touch my spirit. Father, I believe by faith that you are making me whole, that you made me whole, and that you will continue to make me whole. Jesus, touch me. Thank you, Father, that I can be new in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, we're going to pray right now just for this week. Father, I pray right now that you would touch each and every person here. God, whether people haven't put up their hand yet and want to talk after, Father, I pray that you would give them the courage and boldness to come and do so. God, whether they're thinking about it, God, I pray that you would touch them. Father, for those that threw their hand up, God, I pray that you would just touch them, encourage them. God, bless them. Father, breathe your fresh breath over their life. God, we pray for healing over people. God, I pray that if somebody has unbelief about their healing, Father, that they would shed it in Jesus' name. Father, that your faith and your boldness would come into their lives in a new way, God, that they would just live this life of excitement and joy, of faith-filled living. Father, that they would know that nothing would stop them, God, that nothing would hold them back because of your goodness and what your scripture tells us. By your stripes we are whole, we are healed in Jesus' name. So thank you for that. God, touch us in a new and real way this week, Father. Send us out with your blessing and your breath. Give us your joy, God, this week. Father, I thank you for each and every person here. God, I'm excited for the week that's going to come for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. John's going to close us out in song, and then I'll see you guys at the door. Have a great day.